You all again this afternoon. So can you turn in your Bibles back to Ephesians again? Submitting one to another. What an enjoyable topic for Sunday afternoon, submission. Is there anybody here that likes to submit? I had to think, and I'm not going to answer this question, and maybe I shouldn't ask questions I don't have the answer to, but if Mennonites actually believed in submission, would there be so many Mennonite churches? What do you think of when you think of submitting? Submitting is defined as to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. Doesn't say that person's in authority or not. You're just submitting yourself to somebody else's will. And I believe that Paul was writing to the church here, to a group of people that would have said they have the same goal, they are part of the same body of Christ, they want to serve Jesus. So I'm going to read quite a few verses here out of Ephesians that have submission, part of them. We're going to start with chapter 5, verse 21, and read through chapter 6, verse 9. And those who care to may stand. It is more likely to stay awake through reading a long passage if you're standing versus sitting. Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. You may be seated. So as you look at the subject of submitting in these verses, is there anybody that is exempt? Maybe once I get to be as old as Jim, then I'll be exempt from submitting. Maybe. No, everybody is expected to submit. How does the thought of submitting make you feel? How should we submit? And I believe that everybody is under authority. And what is authority? The right to give orders, the responsibility to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. And I can remember being a little boy and thinking, hey, when I get to be my dad's age, then I don't have to listen anymore. Look at the ministers or bishops and think that, hey, they make the decisions. But I can say today that I had an incorrect view of authority. That's not how it works. There is no one that is exempt, no one that is at the top of that ladder. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Except ye be converted. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, Paul said that we need to put off the old man, put on the new man. Submitting does not come natural to the old man. The old man wants to be in charge. He wants to be on top. They want people to look up to you. But Paul said, renew your mind. Take off the old man. Renew your mind and put on the new man. Jesus said that we need to become as little children. And how does chapter 6 of Ephesians begin? Children, obey. Children are not born obedient. They are born with the Adamic nature. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Obedient children don't just happen. They are the result of somebody that put love and care into their life. They're the result of parents that cared about their children and disciplined them. Verse 6 of chapter 6 there of Ephesians says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. There's a saying that goes, there's more that is caught than is taught when you're teaching children. And I know there's a time that comes when children need to make their own decisions. But if mom and dad are only men pleasers, the children are going to know that. And it's going to be a lot harder for them to make the right decisions that they should. There was a conservative man worked in a shop near us for a number of years. And he was always bragging about what he got away with in life. With township authority, with law enforcement, with the game warden, with the church. You name it. Any authority. He was always telling you what he had done to outsmart them and how he was better than them. And he was probably 10 or so years older than I am, and his boys are probably 10 or so years younger than I am. And as I observe his life and as I observe their life, they have nothing to do with a Christian life. And I wonder how much of their dad's example had they learned and decided that they don't need to be part of that. And that those boys are operating businesses today, doing their best to get away with whatever they can. Children learn best when what they are taught lines up with what they see. You know, obedient children make happy parents, and obedient children grow up into obedient servants that make happy employers. And I'll even go so far to say the children that learn obedience also grow into great leaders. Children that learn submission. And they might only lead their family, but isn't that our greatest calling in life? Our greatest responsibility? As we think of authority and submitting to authority, children are called to submit to their parents. And we come to this verse that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And the husband is called to submit to the church. The church is subject to Christ. Jesus Christ is part of the Trinity, but he's under God. God is the highest authority. Romans 13:1-3, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, our culture doesn't even like to think of the concept of submitting. Our culture is individualistic. They're anti-authority. They're all about me. And it all started right after creation with the devil being cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like the Most High God. Not under God, he wanted to be equal. And he promised Eve in the garden that if she eats the fruit, if she disobeys, she will be like God. She will know good and evil. Satan planted the seeds of unbelief and they grew into disobedience. And Satan is still trying to ruin God's creation. He's still trying to get men to question authority, question God's authority and any authority. And I'm not saying it's never right to question authority, but there are right ways of going about it. And we need to keep in mind that the powers that be are ordained of God. And it doesn't just say church power, it says any power. Do you believe that Donald Trump today is a power that was ordained of God? How you believe that affects how you pray for him. There are ways that we can question authority that leave a bad witness in our everyday life. Our local township there, Swatara Township, if you want a permit or something, if you go in on a Wednesday morning between 9 and 12, the engineer's there, and depending what you're doing, he'll sign your paperwork and you're good to go. And I wanted to do something, so I went over to talk to him. And he was on the phone when I got there, and I had to wait till he was finished with his phone call. And he got off the phone call and he used some very negative words to describe the conservative group that the individual he was talking to was a part of. And he said they like to say they're not part of the world, but they're living in the world. They're living in my township under rules that I need to enforce. And if you're living in Swatara Township, you need to do as I say. And they felt that because of the religious organization they're a part of, they didn't need to. And it left a very bad witness to the township for the ordinances that they felt they were exempt from. And sometimes those in government have their own interests in mind, and sometimes they're merely enforcing what those before them put in place. And it can make it very challenging to live out the Christian life. But as long as it isn't going against direct biblical commands, we're called to submit. Sometimes we don't want to submit because we feel that we have rights. Does the follower of Jesus have any rights? If you think about what all Jesus gave up, as he submitted to his Father's plan, even if we give up all, we've never come close to giving up what Jesus gave up. He left heaven and came to a world full of sin. He left holiness. He came to corruption. He left life eternal and gave his life on earth in the most shameful death that man at the time could put on another human being. It says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. You know, submission starts in the mind. What kind of mind did Jesus have? A mind of love, a mind of service, a mind that cared about doing his Father's will, a mind of submission. John 6, verse 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Whose mind do you have? Whose will are you under? Jesus came to earth as God's Son. He had the power to order angels around. He could change the weather. He could calm storms. He could cast out demons. He could walk on water. He could heal any disease that anybody had at the time, and even today. And yet he stooped and washed the disciples' feet in a sign of service and humility. He showed them that authority is greatest when serving wherever needed. And sometimes it's the lowliest jobs that need to be done. But if you've been filled with the mind of Christ, then you will see what needs to be done and will humbly serve as needed. Nobody on earth, nobody, has come from a higher place or a position than what Jesus came down from, because he would submit it to his Father's will. Going back to our text verse there, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And I have several points here. Number one, true submission is only possible with a renewed mind. True submission is only possible with a renewed mind. Our old nature doesn't want to listen or submit to anyone. Our old man is concerned about my rights. But a renewed mind is filled with love for others. Point number two, true submission is wives submitting to their husbands and husbands loving their wives like Jesus loved the church. True submission is wives submitting their husbands and husbands loving their wives like Jesus loved the church. And I ask the question, are wives or husbands called to submit more? It doesn't use the word submit right after husbands like it does wives. But Jesus gave his life for the church. And that's what I'm called to do for my wife, for my family. Ephesians 4:26 says, and this is some marriage advice, I believe. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And the Living Bible has verse 26 and 27 like this. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly, for when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And the word used for devil here is accuser. Adam Clark says, give no place to the talebearer, backbiter, slanderer, who comes to you with accusations against your brethren, or with surmisings and evil speakings. These are human devils. They may be the means of making you angry, even without any solid pretense. Therefore, give them no place, that ye may not be angry at any time. But if unhappily you should be overtaken in this fault, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Go to your brother, against whom you have found your spirit irritated. Tell him what you have heard and what you fear. Let your ears be open to receive his own account. Carefully listen to his own explanation, and if possible, let the matter be finally settled, that Satan may not gain advantage over either. And I've heard this is an essential part of a good marriage. Take care of things when it's very small. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I believe the devil understands that good marriages are the foundation of good homes, and good homes are the foundation of good churches. And so if you can get a seed of something started in a marriage, he can corrupt a church. And I had to think, when they put Interstate 78 in, there's a road right across from us that ended at the interstate. And so it's a one-lane road into the little farm that's there, and it stops after his driveway. And that road today, you no longer know is there. Even though they didn't dig out the macadam, the asphalt that was there, but there was trees on both sides of the roads, and little seeds fell into the macadam and broke it all up. And it looks like the wood starts at the edge of the field now instead of on the other side of the road. And that's the devil's goal. If he can plant a seed of anger, a seed of envy, a seed of jealousy or distrust or anything else that will grow and split us apart, in a number of years, you will no longer see a church. You will see the world. It starts very small, but it has eternal consequences. Point number three, true submission is obedient children that grow into obedient servants. True submission is obedient children that grow into obedient servants. You know that each of your children will one day stand before God. Stand before an almighty God at judgment. Each of your employees will also stand there. Your employer will also be called into account. How am I relating to each of these people? Am I being an example of Jesus? Am I being an example of someone with a renewed mind? Am I living a life that is submitted to Jesus? The reality of it is, I can make it easier or harder for somebody to see Jesus by how I submit to the authority in my life. Point number four, true submission is working together in the body of Christ. True submission is working together in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know, only when Christ is the head can the whole body of the church be fitly joined together. Fitly carries the idea of being knit together, being in harmony. And compacted means to be forced or driven together. Also being united by that which every joint supplieth carries the idea that all are needed to have a complete body. And I liked Albert Barnes' thought in this phrase, literally through every joint of supply, that is which affords or ministers mutual aid. The word joint here means anything which binds, fastens, secures. It does not refer to the joint in the sense which we commonly use it, as denoting the articulation of the limbs or the joining of two or more bones, but rather that which unites or fastens together the different parts of the frame, the blood vessels, the cords, the tendons, and muscles. The meaning is that every such means of connecting one part of the body with another ministers nourishment, and that thus the body is sustained. One part is dependent on another. One part derives nourishment from another, and thus all become mutually useful as contributing to support and harmony of the whole. Thus it furnishes an illustration of the connection in the members of the church and of the aid which one can render to another. And I read somewhere that the church is the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is always the head, and the Holy Spirit is always the heart. But the rest of the members are changing with time. There's a group of Catholics that call themselves the Knights of Columbus. And the Pope calls them the right arm of the church. And as I read about them, it says they try to help those in need and make a difference in their communities. And they do fundraisers by having tailgate parties at football games and having fish fries at their church. And they might be working together, but I don't know that that is what's talked about as the right arm of the church. And when you think of a body, anytime you start taking parts off of it, you handicap it. When I think of the right arm of the church, and I'd like to break it down a little more, maybe I shouldn't, but I think our deacons are the right hands of the church. They're the ones that are filling the needs, helping, and so on. But you know, if all we had was our right hand, what good would that do? It takes an arm and a shoulder to move that hand. The ear is what hears the needs and the opportunities to help others. The eye might have a vision for the future of the church and see what needs to be done. The toes help provide balance as it's moving around. But faithful members that love God and study His Word are the backbone of any church, any strong church. And it may even be that some older members feel they can only contribute in prayer life. But that is essential to having a strong church. And they may be providing the most strength of any of the congregation. It takes working together. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. There needs to be a connection, a submission between members, because time keeps moving. The men and women that make up the body of the church today will be replaced. Will the next generation be more or less submitted than I am? And how important is the end of verse 21, chapter 5 there? The fear of God, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in the respect of God, in awe of God. You know, I believe that a proper view of God is the only thing that makes submitting even possible. My grandfather Raymond used to say, you need to find your place, fill your place, and stay in your place. And I believe that is what we need to do as we submit to each other. Philippians 2, verse 2 to 4, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. And we dare not compare our tasks, our responsibility with those around us. Because comparison is the thief of joy. They aren't called to do the same thing we are. Paul wanted us to serve in unity and love and in joy. And what else? What does he say in the verses before verse 21? Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is all the same sentence that ends with submission. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there are five things, I believe, out of these three verses that show us what a submissive church looks like. First one there, filled with the Spirit, not with wine. Number two, reading the scriptures together, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Number three, singing together, making music together. Number four, being a thankful people. And number five, submitting to each other. Is that what your church looks like? Is that what my church looks like? Let's kneel for prayer.